Welcome back to the 330 Sports Show, guys. We're going round two here, but this one is going to be specifically Ohio State football and basketball. We're going to do about a 15-minute segment here with Steve Hellwagon of 24/7 Sports and Bucknuts. Steve does a fantastic job. Highly recommend looking him up on Twitter and Facebook. I'll have him share some of his information here in a minute, but Steve covers Ohio State and has for a long time and does a great job. So we're going to bring him in now, talk a little hoops, but we're going to start with football first. So Steve, welcome back to the show, and thanks for taking some time out of your day.
Yep, great to be with you.
Absolutely. So Steve, let's start first of all with last weekend's monsoon, hurricane, whatever you want to call it. Were you actually at the game in Chicago?
I was in attendance there in Evanston. I was tucked away nice and safe up in the press box. It was dry and warm up there. It was actually a warm day. It was actually right around 60 degrees if you looked at a thermometer, but with the way the wind was whipping, it felt much colder than that, obviously. I walked out of the hotel at 8 a.m. out there. It was an 11 a.m. Central Time game, and I walked out of the hotel and got hit with a blast of air, and it just took my breath away. And then to be out in it, walking to the stadium and everything else, it was something. And then obviously you know, you look out there during warmups and you could see that the rain was kind of going sideways like this because of all the wind. And it was kind of a misty rain for a while. And then before halftime, it poured down rain. I mean, it was pouring down rain. And now, I mean, it's a windy, wet mess. It reminded me, as I saw people out there in their rain suits, of the Weather Channel and somebody down, you know, on the beach in the Gulf waiting for the big storm to come in, because that's kind of what it looked like, you know, with the people out there and the elements. And it was probably the most miserable conditions I could remember for an Ohio State game. I think the game Ohio State lost to Michigan State in Columbus here in 2015, the conditions were pretty bad that day because it was cold and blowing and rainy and sleety. And then the day, this is way back in 1995, when Eddie George rushed for over 300 yards against Illinois. It was cold and sleeting that day, and the ice pellets felt like they were burning your eyes when they hit you in the eyes. So you know, those were the kind of conditions they were playing in that day. But yeah, those are two or three of the ones that really stand out to me.
And, you know, obviously being in the Midwest in November, you never know. You know, you can get a day. I'm sure down in Columbus, you guys got pretty decent weather today. But tomorrow, you know, we're supposed to get a couple inches of rain. And then, you know, who knows? You could get snow, but it could also be 70 degrees. So Ohio State, who, you know, has the talent differential most times on the field, what do you attribute to people that might say, this team's not that tough, or they can't run it in short yardage? What's your thoughts when people say that? Do you chalk it up to the weather, or do you say maybe this team needs to toughen up in short yardage situations?
Well, I thought Northwestern was better prepared for the elements. They had good game plans on both sides of the ball, and the elements were a tremendous equalizer. I mean, here was Ohio State 8-0, and here was Northwestern 1-7, and a bad-looking Northwestern at that, or 1-7 at that. So I think the elements proved to be quite an equalizer on that one given day. And I guess it's hard to put your finger on exactly one thing and say, oh, this is it. They're not tough enough, or they don't execute, or the play calling is predictable, or I think it's a combination of things. I think it was a different thing on every one of those plays that, you know, they tried to run the football for 2.5 quarters and couldn't get anywhere. And they certainly weren't throwing the football either. So it was a messy, messy day for the offense. And eventually C.J. Stroud kept it for a couple of runs, and that made Northwestern have to honor him a little bit more, and that opened some things up for Mayan Williams. And I also think eventually Ohio State's size overwhelmed Northwestern, and they wore them down. And eventually in the fourth quarter, the Buckeyes were able to run the ball and run the timeout there in the last, you know, 10 minutes of the game. Things finally worked. They got to over 200 yards rushing on a day when they couldn't run the ball. So,
right.
You know, again, you know, what part of the game are we talking about? But there's no reason why they should have struggled as bad as they did for the first two and a half quarters. regardless of the situation. I think they were trying to throw the ball downfield too much in that wind, and those were just completely lost downs when you do that. I think the offensive line did not execute at a high enough level, and certainly that explains some of the short yardage problems that they had. You could not throw the football, so you were kind of left to one thing, and Northwestern was just teeing off on Mayan Williams. I don't think Mayan Williams was healthy. I think he left the Penn State game, and, you know, he's out there playing. Travion Henderson, who had played the previous week and had broken off a big run, it was obvious they missed him. I didn't understand why they didn't put Dallin Hayden, the true freshman, or Chip Trianum, the transfer from Arizona State, in the game, because I think had they done that, it may have changed a little bit of the angles or the speed, the timing of those run plays to where maybe they had hit a hole sooner, or if they blocked it, you know, for those guys, that maybe they squirt through there and make a big play and change the field position, change the game. And I just think that they were just tried to keep pounding the square peg into the round hole, and it just wasn't going to go. And then lo and behold, all it took was CJ Stroud keeping it a couple times. And boy, that changed, changed that game in a heartbeat. So, now they have that wrinkle. It's part of the offense if they ever need it. I don't think they're going to need it this week against Indiana, but if they ever do come down in a game against Michigan or whoever it may be after that in Big Ten championship or playoff potentially, they know that they can go to that if they have to.
Yeah, at the very least, it's on film for the DC to go have to look at and plan for. So I want to ask you this about the running game real quick before we move our sights onto the team up north. But the running game, it just feels like neither running back can stay healthy this year. You know, Mayan Williams goes for 200 yards, you know, against Rutgers, and then misses the following week. Travion Henderson in and out of the lineup all year long. So do you think they're load managing these guys, or are they legit injured where they can't physically get out there?
I'm going to assume that they are legit injured because I think if Travion Henderson was available, he would have played. Again, I'm a little skeptical whether we're going to see him this week or not, because Coach Day was discussing this running back situation Tuesday and again today and said that he does want to get Dallin Hayden and Trianum into the game. And he made one comment. He said, we're going to need that running back depth. And I kind of read between the lines on that to say that, maybe one of the dynamic twosome is not going to be available this week, and that's too bad. But, again, I don't think it hurts them too much against Indiana. I mean, this is a team they're favored to beat by almost six touchdowns. And so you got to go out, take care of business, execute, play great defense as they have continued to do week after week, and, you know, get out of there and win the game. And really, you've got two really tough games to me at Maryland and back home with Michigan to end this in this regular season. And, you know, Maryland's played everybody tough. They've won their share. And so we'll see, you know, how it goes the rest of the way. But, again, get out there and the weather should not be a factor here on Saturday, although there is a cold front coming. It was 70 degrees here today, and even a buddy of mine said, let's go play golf. And I was like, I got to go to this basketball game tonight. Otherwise, I'd be on about the fifth hole right now. But, Saturday, the forecast, the high is like 42 degrees and a little bit of winds and small, slight chance of rain holding over from Friday as well. So we'll see what the elements look like on Saturday. But that'll be more like crisp autumn. We've had this was one of the best Octobers I can remember for weather. And so far in November, it's the first week of November has been awesome too.
I know, wearing shorts and t-shirt outside and, you know, closing in on middle of November, and it's just crazy. So hopefully, and I'm not going to use the weather as an excuse because both teams got to play in it, but hopefully in a couple weeks here against that team up north, it's decent enough. We're not, you know, playing in any elements, so we can get out there and just get after it. So before we switch to basketball, Steve, I just want your thoughts. Ohio State coming in at number 2, Michigan right now at number 3. So that's possibly a de facto semifinal game, kind of to not just get into the Big Ten championship game, but possibly the playoff. So just a general vibe that you have around the Buckeyes and maybe your thoughts on Michigan as we head into that game in a few weeks here.
Yeah, I thought the committee did an outstanding job this week. I thought 1 through 6 or so, I thought that the rankings that they put out made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I thought if they have USC at 7, that might be a little bit high for them. Alabama and Clemson, they dropped them down to the bottom part of the top 10. Personally, I had them a little farther down, each of them, but ahead with some of those Pac-12 teams that only have one loss, maybe ahead of them. But I thought, obviously, Georgia is the clear number one. They've got the wins. They beat Oregon like a drum. They beat mm-hmm. Tennessee very handily. So they've got the wins at the top. I mean, they deserve the top spot, and they will remain in the top spot going into the playoff if they don't lose a game the rest of the way. So I think presumably play LSU in the SEC championship game if LSU is able to win a couple of its last three games here. But Ohio State, to me, is the number two team, just a little bit over Michigan. I think the Notre Dame win in part gives Ohio State a half step up, although Michigan will gain a leg up on Ohio State next week when they play Illinois, which is better than any team from the West that Ohio State will have played this season, clearly. And, I mean, they've beaten Wisconsin and Iowa, the two teams from the West that that Ohio – the two better teams from the West that Ohio State played. So that'll maybe even things up. As of right now, those two, Ohio State and Michigan, have four common opponents. You take them out of the mix. The other five opponents, Michigan's other five opponents, have a combined 18 wins. Ohio State's other five opponents have 20 wins. So the strength of schedule is pretty comparable, I think, for those two teams right now. And the neat thing, as you mentioned, is they're going to settle this one on the field. The winner of their game, presumably all things being equal, will be number two. The loser of their game, provided it's not a 40-7 type game that completely disqualifies the loser, could be in contention for the four seed potentially in the playoff, depending on how things turn out. Michigan 3, I have no problem with that. And TCU, I thought they deserve it. They've played several ranked teams, mm-hmm. four or five ranked teams. They've won, all they've done is gone out and win their games. Tough one for them this week at Texas, yep. who's starting to play better ball with Quinn Ewers. So we'll see if TCU can remain undefeated. If they can, they deserve their spot. Tennessee is right there lurking. Obviously not going to go to the SEC championship game with Georgia going from yep. the East. And I think they play like Missouri, Vanderbilt, South Carolina. So I think we can write them down for South Carolina could get a little dicey for them. I'm going to say 11-1 pretty much certainly for Tennessee, and they'll be right there lurking. If somebody falters, then they can get right back in there, maybe a two-loss LSU. If the Pac-12 creates a one-loss champion with USC, UCLA, or Oregon, then maybe they have a case as well to get back into the playoff mix.
Interesting. Okay. All right, Steve, I want to throw out one number for you before we switch to basketball and just get your opinion on this. So Ohio State this year is 77th in pass percentage on offense. So number of snaps on offense. They're the number 77 team in the country based on percentage. 46.3% of their snaps on offense are passing. So they're running the ball a heck of a lot. Well, not a heck of a lot more, but more so than passing. And that takes everything into account, quarterback scrambles and kneeing and stuff like that. But does that stat surprise you at all?
No, not really, because I think Stroud gets his 30 attempts in and they usually have a 4 or 5 touchdown lead at the beginning of the fourth quarter. And then they turn it over to McCord. They let him throw two passes and run the ball the remaining 15 minutes to end the game. And so you end the game as a team, you've only thrown 32 passes, where that's some of these teams are throwing it 40 and 50 times a game. So Indiana, this guy this week, Connor Bazelak, he has 200-300-yard games this year for Indiana, but I think in one of them he had to throw the ball 55 times to get his 360 yards. So that's not all that economical when you really add it all up. I mean, that's really not – yards per attempt, it's really not not that great of a ratio. So
yeah.
Ohio State is having a great ratio with that. I just think it's the way the games have fallen. I don't read a lot into that statistic. I think probably the big thing that the two big things that measure Ohio State this year to me have been third down conversions. I believe they were 50% and in the top 15 nationally on third down conversions going into Northwestern, and they were only 4 of 15 against Northwestern. So that really kind of was a lot less than what we had seen. That stat to me really kind of stands out. And then in the red zone, up until the one at Penn State where they screwed up the time at the end of the half and didn't score, they'd been perfect in the red zone, either field goals or touchdowns. And they're still near perfect, I guess, at this point right now. But, I think that those are the two things, is that when you're in the red zone, you finish it off, preferably with touchdowns, but at least get that three like they did against Iowa. I had to settle for the 4 field goals, better than nothing. And then on third down, you are sustaining drives consistently. You are, you know, taking it from your own 20 down to their 20 or even further. And that's the hallmark of a great team. And it's a great offense, to my opinion. It's all the issues they have. Other teams wish they had problems like Ohio State in a day where you can't run it and still net 200 yards.
Amen. Amen. So, yeah, like you said, quality over quantity. So, Steve, with that. Oh, Joe, did you jump on? Okay. With that, Steve, we're going to flip to Ohio State basketball. There's the owner of our studio, by the way, jumping on, Joe Danier outside. Steve, give us a little quick rundown. You're going to head to the game tonight. Give us a little quick rundown of just your overall thoughts on Ohio State basketball this season.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting year, I think, for Ohio State basketball. They only had 3 guys who'd ever played any time at Ohio State on the roster starting the season, plus a redshirt freshman, Kalen Etzler. So Zed Key, Justice Suing, and Eugene Brown III are the 3 holdover players previously, and Kalen Etzler, a redshirt from last year, had never played. And then you had 5 true freshmen, a class that was ranked in the top 10 nationally, led by Bryce Sensabaugh, forward. Also a pair of guards, Roddy Gale and Bruce Thornton. Bruce Thornton is actually starting at point guard for Ohio State as a true freshman, oh, wow, which is interesting. And he had 11 assists in their exhibition against Chaminade. He had 4 assists the other night against Robert Morris. And then you brought in Coach Holtman, who's 6th season with the Buckeyes. He brought in 3 transfers, Sean McNeil, kind of a shooter from West Virginia. He's starting. Isaac Likely, who is kind of a do-it-all guy. It's kind of hard to put a position on him. He can play the point guard, the 2 guard, the power forward. He can do a little bit of everything for you. He's been a pretty good defender, I think, for the Buckeyes and Oklahoma State previously. Not a high scorer, but really a glue guy. The other night, he had 9 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists, and like 2 steals maybe. So he's a guy that I wasn't expecting to be in the starting lineup. I figured he'd be bracketed with Thornton as the point guard. And as it turns out, they're playing him, and he's a real good glue guy as well. And then the 3rd transfer is Tanner Holden from Wright State, originally from Wheelersburg, Ohio, a kid that a funny story. He played on the same All-Ohio Red travel team with a guy named Alonzo Gaffney, who's got ties back, I think, to the Youngstown area. I think his dad, John, may have been from the Youngstown area originally. He played at Cincinnati, I think. Mm-hmm. And they take Alonzo Gaffney, this, you know, highly rated 6'8 forward who washes out after 1 year. And instead, you know, here's Tanner Holden beating the bushes down the Horizon League at Wright State, has 3 great years for them, averaged 20 points a game last year. And as soon as the season ended, Malachi Branham turned pro for the Buckeyes. The Buckeyes put the call out on the waiver wire for Tanner Holden to come from Wright State, and he answered the call. He's not starting right now, but he's providing instant offense off the bench. So they go 9 deep right now, and I think you got to really like the trajectory of this team. They're playing 3 guaranteed games where they, you know, pay the opponent to come in and play to start the season. Robert Morris, Charleston Southern, and I think Eastern Illinois next Wednesday. Okay. And then they're going to get on a plane and go to Hawaii for the big-time Maui Invitational, which has an amazing field this year. I think there are 5 ranked teams in the field. out there, and Ohio State could play as many as three of them in 3 days. They're going to open up with San Diego State, who's a ranked team and one of the best defensive teams in the country, on that Monday before Thanksgiving. Then we'll play either Cincinnati or Arizona. Arizona's a ranked team on the second day, depending on whether they win or lose. And then there are three ranked teams on the other side of the bracket who would be there for them on the third day, as well as Louisville, which is not off to a very good start this year. So some tough games for this team. So the game tonight's on Big Ten Network against Charleston Southern, as well as the Eastern Illinois game next week. And the exhibition game and the first game, that's Robert Morris, were on pay-per-view. So they were kind of in the witness protection program. This is the this is the big coming out party for this team. They're going to be on national television tonight. So anybody who wants to watch this game can find it on Big Ten Network. And I think people are going to be reasonably impressed with what they see.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think, last question here, Steve, do you think sort of, you know, obviously losing Liddell, losing Branham, but like, do you think the sum of all parts this year, I know they're playing a lot of young guys, might end up with better results than last season? What's your...
I think they're a deeper team this year than last year. You go into that game against Villanova and you don't have Justice Suing. Obviously, you only played two games last season, and you really missed him. They didn't have a true three or a true wing. I mean, they started different guys there, and just nobody who ever made any kind of a difference. Justice Suey or Justin Arnes, who transferred out for his last year. Eugene Brown, who's just a defensive player. So, you know, I think they've got much improved offensive capability and efficiency this year. And, you know, Zed Key has extended his shooting range a little bit, which brings the big man out of the paint and allows the driving lanes for Tanner Holden and Bryce Sensabaugh and Likely and all these other guys. So, you know, I think it's going to be a fun year to watch this team play. The big thing for them will be half court defense and defensive rebounding. You can't let the opponents get two and three chances on goal. And those are the areas that Coach Holtman's really harping on.
Now, I know it's Thanksgiving week, but are you gonna ask 24/7 Sports to maybe go out and cover that in Hawaii?
What a bone of contention this is. I've got a few years left in me, and I think that they may go back out there again maybe the next 4 or 5 years, and that'll be my goal the next time it happens, is to go. For me to have gone this time, the week before the Ohio State football plays at Maryland, I would have had to get on a plane on Sunday from Washington, D.C., and fly to Hawaii, cover the games Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, fly back all day on Thanksgiving, and then, you know, get back in here late on Thursday and have the Michigan game on that Saturday. I would have missed all the run-up to the Michigan game here in Columbus. Yeah. So I thought about it long and hard. And really, one of the things is it's on Maui, which it's not where Honolulu is. So once you even get to Hawaii, there are logistical problems getting from Honolulu to Maui. Not a lot of places affordably to stay on Maui. And, you know, just the logistics of getting around and all that. You know, how are you going to do it? How are you going to get back to Honolulu to catch your plane to come back to the States and all that? But maybe the next time, I don't know. They'll do it again in 4 or 5 years. I think every 4 or 5 years you get to go play in that. So
okay.
I'm hopeful maybe one of these times I'll get to go. But, yeah, that would have been a lot of fun. Never covered a game in Hawaii. I've covered a game in about 27 different states. That would have been a new one for me. Never been to Hawaii. So there you go.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, Steve, you know, I told you I'll keep you for about 15 minutes and we go almost a half hour. So that's just the, you know, the tail.
It's just
of the
how we
there.
Roll. Can't get started. Exactly. And can't get stopped. So,
but, we appreciate you. Tell people real quick where they can find you on social media.
Yeah. Bucknuts.com and, on Twitter at Steve Howlwagon, and complete coverage of Ohio State football and basketball and everything else that's going on. The Ohio State women's team pulled off a huge win. What was it? Tuesday night, beat number 5 Tennessee here at the Shot. They had over 6,000 people in attendance for that. And, that's a team to me. Ohio State hasn't been to the Final Four in women's basketball since 1993. Maybe this is a team that can, end that drought after 30 years. That's amazing.
A lot of great things going on in Columbus at The Ohio State University. Steve and his crew do a great job covering it. Steve, again, thank you for joining us, and go Buckeyes. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content.